So last week, our guest, Janet Geer, described five alternate theologies, flavors of faith, that she has discerned from observing people in the United Church. Janet's insight is that each of us has a stream or a flavor that feels right to us, that feels like home, and which helps us express and live in our actions and work what it is to be human, to be a child of God. And we begin with the one that for United Church folks, and perhaps other Christians too, might find the most surprising flavor of faith for us United Churchers. I mean, what do you think when you hear the word evangelical? Be honest. What comes to mind? Pardon? Right wing. Holy roller. What was that? Someone said something else. I missed it. Conservative. Right. Any others? Nobody thought obnoxious? Did some of you think that? Not necessarily. So what are some other things that you associate with the word evangelical? Singing! Yeah. Great songs, right? Some of them. Any others? Oh, yes. People who are evangelical seem to have an easier time praying publicly. It's like it's in their DNA. Or they probably grow up doing it. Right, Susan? Right. What was that, Tavi? Fundamentalist, oh yes. Sometimes we equate those things, don't we? Fundamentalism with evangelicalism. And those reputations are all well earned, but they're not the whole story. In fact, it's a very narrow way of understanding that word. So, I'm inviting you to put aside whatever negative stereotypes you might have about that word and people associated with that word. Because let me assure you that the evangelical expression of our faith is deeply embedded in the United Church of Canada, in its history and culture. Did you know that? It's there. Listen to this quote from the United Church Manual going back to 1899, before our church was even formed, 26 years before it was formed. The Presbyterian General Assembly, on the request of its Board of Home Missions, appointed a committee to confer with representatives from other evangelical churches so that the overlapping now complained of may be prevented. That's the way those early Presbyterians, which was the largest group that formed the United Church, described what this was about. It was about getting together with other evangelical Christians to maybe not overlap or duplicate so much their presence in various communities. To be evangelical in outlook and practice then and now is to assume that in Jesus we are given the gift of evangel. That is glad tidings, good news. And as those who follow Jesus, Christians are responsible to not keep that good news to ourselves. That is good news for the world, not just for us, that God loves us so fully. So this term evangelical, those who share the good news of Jesus, is deep in our DNA as a church. In fact, I know at least one of you knows, and I bet you others do, did you know what special day today or yesterday is in the history of our congregation? It's our anniversary. Yeah, that's right. 67 years ago yesterday, our community of faith had its first official church service with communion. It was actually having services before that. But you know, part of the bias of those days, I think they had to wait for a real minister to be there. So that's our official anniversary date yesterday. 67 years. And it's good to remember how we started as a community of faith. First of all, did you know that we started through the acts of one lay woman? It's true. There was no minister in sight when we got started. It was started by Mrs. Evans. Some of you know that name. Mrs. Evans, who was famous for traveling the neighborhood in her green moped, of all things. And she would go up and down the streets around here and talk to folks and invite them to be part of a new Christian community. She was our first evangelical messenger. She invited them, and they first gathered at R.M. Grauer School, just down the street, for their first gathering in 1956, and they kept gathering, and as I said, they had their first official communion service on February the 17th, 1957. It was Mrs. Evans' devotion to her faith and to sharing it that got us started as a community of faith. Evangelical faith in the United Church is a big piece of our past, and it's actually a growing edge of our future. Nearly 100 years ago, when we formed as a denomination, more than 100 years ago, well, actually, we're celebrating 100 years next year. We're 99 now. When we were formed as a denomination, we were, as I read, an evangelical church, launching into decades of missionary activity, and there was a growing number of evangelical leaders and congregants in our church today. It's true. Now, it might surprise us to discover how many of us in this room today grew up with an evangelical faith or had significant faith experiences in an evangelical community. Now, you don't have to out yourself if you don't want to. But if you're willing, put your hand up if you grew up in an evangelical faith or had significant experiences of faith in an evangelical community. Oh, I see sort of half hands. Oh, it's no surprise, eh? There's more in the choir. There's a few of us. For me, well, some of you know, I grew up with missionary parents who traveled to Japan to work with the Korean church. It's kind of a complicated story. But they were there to share faith in their community and across many languages. I have this memory of my dad walking around the very working class neighborhood that we lived in beside the church where he was the pastor. He was carrying a megaphone, and he had this whole pile of kids from the neighborhood following behind him like the Pied Piper. And the reason they were following him was that he was boldly proclaiming that we're going to have a movie night at the church. Come and watch our movies. We had some Looney Tunes and other fun movies. And we had a movie about Jesus. He was creative in being an evangelical. People who've only known my dad for the last 50 years of his life might be very surprised to know what a zealous evangelical he and my mom were, and really still are. I grew up in that world, and through my high school years, I was very active in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, known as Interschool Christian Fellowship. In young people's, and I listened to, I don't know if any of you know these names, but the music I was listening to in those days was Keith Green and Amy Grant and Randy Stonehill. Few of you might have heard of those Jesus rockers, Jesus pop stars in the 80s and 70s, I guess. The word evangel or evangelical is a beautiful word. It comes, as I said earlier, from the same origin as the word angel. And it means the one who tells good news. The evangelist, like the angel, is a messenger. The gospel writers were evangelists. The gospel sharers today are their faithful descendants. Just go to the next slide, please, Miguel. As we explore the expressions of faith in our church over the next 5 weeks, people may come to mind for you who live their faith in a particular way that we're lifting up on any given week. For example, this morning, you might remember a relative or a friend who was a follower of Billy Graham. Someone who knew the Psalms by heart or other scripture verses. Or, as Tanya said earlier, had no trouble offering grace or praying in public. These are beautiful images of the evangelical faith. We'll go to just click one there, please. Yeah. It's about sharing the gospel and knowing Jesus intimately. In the present-day United Church of Canada, Janet tells us that the table of evangelical lived faith is the most diversely populated table at the banquet. Generationally, racially, internationally, politically, and theologically. It's a diverse bunch who likes those evangelical songs, or who is comfortable praying or sharing their faith out loud. The evangelical lived faith is the faith of the messenger of glad tidings. The language of evangelicals is passionate and direct. It's unapologetic and it's personal. Cambie Village United Church in Vancouver happily embraces their evangelical identity with these words: Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is of first importance and has the power to transform us, our communities, and the world. We strive to be a living mode of Christianity, a multi-generational neighborhood community gripped by the gospel of grace, seeking to reach and serve our multicultural society for Christ's glory. Of the three scripture texts that Bonnie read for us this morning, one of them contains the most familiar, perhaps most often quoted verse of the Bible, or at least of the New Testament. It's like a code for Christians and non-Christians alike. You sometimes see it at football games and baseball games and sometimes on street corners. For God so loved the world that God gave the only begotten, so that everyone who believes may not perish, but have eternal life. The self-giving of God in the incarnation and the self-giving of Jesus in his passion are called here in this text to invite us all of us humans in the human social order. We are all invited to participate in the generous story of Jesus' life. Jesus is our example, a model of what it means to be human, and he leads the way in generous self-giving. And we are all invited to die to ourselves, to be born anew, born again, in order to live freely in love. Nicodemus struggled with this idea that Jesus shared about being born again. But Jesus teaches us that seeing God's kingdom is about being reborn as people of the Spirit. It's not like, you know, putting up makeup at the beginning of the day that you can wipe off later. It's not about how others see you, it's about how we see others, how we see the world. Being born of the Spirit means that we allow God to change us, we allow God's Spirit to blow through us and to give us direction and transform our lives. Exploring our banquet of faith is a way of uncovering the holy ground where each of us meets God, God's life-giving Spirit. So for the group that we call the evangelicals, the meeting place with God is in carrying the message of good news, holding it deeply, tightly within ourselves and sharing it with others as well. This means that they take the power of Jesus to save lives seriously, beginning with their own. Some folks hold to this flavor of faith because they've experienced a radical transformation at a point in their lives where the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, made all the difference to them. It turned their life in a new direction. Not everyone experiences faith that way, but for those who do, it's a powerful expression of faith. So whether this is your most natural expression of faith or not, know that the Spirit's gift of faith calls us all through good news. Whether it's Christian community or compassion for others or justice, those are all life-giving ways of living our faith. In presenting these five streams over these 5 weeks, our hope is to lift up and celebrate the unique flavor that each one brings to our faith feast. If it's a flavor of faith that is close to your heart, I hope you find resonance and encouragement. If it's a bit further from you, I hope there might be a point of greater respect and understanding of that flavor, that stream. Or maybe even something that makes you think, you know, that's an area where I could grow a bit. If you're at a banquet, you don't want to just eat one dish. You might have your favorite, and that's fine. But sample the other stuff. It's so good. May we all grow in our desire to draw closer to God through Christ and to share the good news of love. Amen.